On this Friday afternoon, we're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. He's been traveling and is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You're in the heart of rough country there, flooding, maybe just a little to the north of it. But how bad do things look to you?
You know, when I got in and started driving around, what's really going on right now is most of the major flooding where I am here in Sioux Falls is really tucked away into the rivers and into the drainage system. So in other words, we're not seeing it, you know, spreading widely over fields in this part of South Dakota. Now, still to the south, they're dealing with quite a bit of this in Nebraska. But I'm outside right now. I got short sleeves on. It's in the 50s. It's warm, and we're eroding that snowpack that's pretty far to my north right now. And so we're going to have several warm days leading up to even the middle of next week around 28th, 29th, where it's still going to be quite warm. In fact, I just presented here. I told them you might even see a temperature in the middle to upper 60s by the middle of next week out ahead of our next big system. So, you know, the flood threat is far from over in the major river systems. You know, certainly we are, you know, we're bringing all this water down the Missouri. It's coming down through the Mississippi. It's got to get through the southern tip of Illinois, where it meets the Ohio River. And just as a kind of a side note, I drove over to the Ohio River with my son, my whole family last week, and my son looked out and we went over the bridge and he thought it was a river made of chocolate milk. And I said, well, that's what happens when you put that much water on these bare farm fields. And it looked like class 5 rapids of chocolate milk. And boy, was the Ohio out of its banks. So we're going to continue to see this. Yeah, this flood problem is nowhere near done in the major river systems, much less so when we think about it just widespread across, you know, all the open fields. It's getting better with each day, I should say.
You'd almost hope for the weather over the next 10 days or so not to be that warm, to keep a slow melt going as opposed to something that speeded up. What do you see?
Well, I certainly see we're going to have waves of warmth coming through. So we got a system that's right now coming out of parts of Colorado, giving us severe weather threat to parts of Texas today. It's kind of a slow mover, but it's not a major precipitation producer for Nebraska. It'll get here by late Saturday night into Sunday. It kind of comes across Illinois. Again, not a big precipitation measure, but it is, you know, it's putting down some precip, a little bit of cold air behind it. But then it's next week, we're watching a system coming out of California first. It then goes toward the northern plains. We will definitely be in the warm sector of that storm. And therefore, we're going to get a pretty big warm up around 27th, 28th, 29th. But just because the system is unblocked, really, because we just have a big ridge over Alaska and all the weather systems kind of curl around it, we're going to keep getting, you know, these warm-ups and then a brief cool-down, then a warm-up and a brief cool-down. But I don't see anything like we saw, you know, about a week and a half ago where we have these monstrous winter storms that come running through, you know. So that snowpack, it'll have good chances to be kind of melting away here that's tucked away in northern South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, where there's still quite a bit of water locked up in that snow. So you're right. We're still going to be dealing with it, and hopefully it'll be a little bit slower than a more rapid melt.
You didn't mention any rainfall amounts.
Yeah, it's, you know, when we think about the total amount of rain that's coming, I just looked at a map from the latest European model run, and the rainfall amounts are not like we saw, where we were seeing some folks getting, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches of rain out of that last system, not even close to it with the next few that are coming up.
By mid-April, farmers across the whole of the Corn Belt will be pretty anxious to get into the field. Will temperatures change very much?
Yeah, well, we've got some good news on that front. And the big picture here is that a year ago in mid-April, we were watching a trough that kind of slid back and forth between the Great Lakes and Montana. And that's what kept everything so cold in the central United States all the way through about the fourth week of April, really the end of April, before it finally broke in May. Well, this year, that same trough features tucked north and east of the Hudson Bay, almost to Greenland. And the more it stays to the north, the better we are in terms of recovering normal spring-like temperatures. So I just looked out, brand new model run came out last night from the European model, runs out 46 days. It's called the European Weeklies. And the model's in agreement with what we're seeing, which is still an active pattern in terms of precipitation and weather systems. But by that point, we could be seeing the development of a pretty decent southeastern United States ridge with more cooler weather in the southwest. And where that puts us is a lot more closer to average on temperatures, maybe even a slight warm bias of the eastern Corn Belt moving into mid-April.
Turn your attention now to the corn crop in South America, please. Are they still getting rainfall?
Yeah, we are. And the thing is that first crop, remember, was dry finish. The second crop went in early, and they've had really good precipitation, both in in Brazil, where the second crop is growing, but also finishing the first crop in Argentina. So when we don't see these major, you know, problems, looking here in the near term, that just tends to tell us that, you know, Brazil's probably looking at another good crop. the at least the Safrinha crop. The second side of this, though, is that with the El Nino that's coming up, we have basically warmer waters finally surfacing out in the Central Pacific, kind of getting close to South America. That's tend to reinforce the April rain that we get in South America, which will be good for them. But that's also a factor that affects our spring here as well. And if we have an El Nino that surfaces here in spring and maintains itself through early summer, well, we should be happy to see that, because typically those El Nino summers tend to be a little bit better than average in terms of yield, in terms of water, in terms of temperature stresses. But remember, it's a small factor when we look at the whole bigger picture of how it works.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible.